Ava, and welcome back to another podcast of Ava Hava Air question mark. The name is fluid. It's something that we're working through, and we're gonna have guests on back and forth throughout the podcast. So those are really exciting things to think of in the near future. Because this is my first podcast back in a long time, I do kind of want to just do like a welcome reunion situation. And I know there was a podcast before this a couple weeks ago, but there's an updated schedule. You can find that on social media. You can find that on the Ava Hava private Instagram page, EXP, and on the community tab as well. But I just want to do like a reintroduction, a little catch up, tell you guys how I've been. We're going to get deep a little bit. And then I do have a little topic in the day. We're not going to keep this going too long. We have lives coming up throughout the week where we're going to do more of our talking. But for now, I'm just going to catch you guys up on me and where I've been, because it's been a while. And I know that I keep talking about this ominous, traumatic experience that I went through. And so I'm going to tap into that a little bit in a structured kind of environment, because you guys know how the lives get. We get questions, we get emotions, we get feelings. And I kind of want this podcast season two, because season one has been depleted and deleted, which I'll also talk about that as well, to kind of, you know, wrap things up in a way where we're all on the same page, because I feel like I've been all over the place lately, and that energy has flown into you guys, because you're like, are you coming back for real? Are you just posting a video? Are you just posting the podcast? Like, is it happening again? And so here we are. So last time we talked was probably like 2019, late 2019. Coming into 2020 was extremely chaotic. I was in a relationship that I ended right after my birthday. And you guys know, right after my birthday, there was a pandemic a couple months later. And so after the pandemic, you know, everything kind of shifted. I look back at the person that I was in 2020, and I'm not proud of that person. I was going through something very, like, I don't even know. I feel like I was going through like a shadowing shift, is what I want to call it, where like you're kind of numbly acting out your worst flaws, or acting out in a manner that you can't really explain, or you don't really know that you're going through. You're just numbly going through the motions, but you're acting out of like a subconscious energy. You know what I'm saying? That you don't even know that you're acting out of. So just like being like a lot of misguided and frustrated energy towards a lot of things, like my family, my friends, like society, life in general. Like, it was a chaotic time, 2020. So and even that relationship, like the way that it ended and the way that it began and all of that stuff, because that was the Leo relationship that I had been in on and off, and like, we don't want to talk about that. That's a dead thing. And if you ever hear me talk about a Leo again, it's gonna be someone new, and we're gonna name names from now on. And that's also part of the growth process. Why we're naming names, because we have evolved. We have evolved beyond the 2019, the 2020 Haven, Ava Hava. And I'm going to just catch you guys up to speed the rest of this podcast. So after the pandemic started, that summer was like a blur. I mean, a blur, because it was very much about let's party, let's live life like it's like over, because it felt like it was over. So every day there was like a pool situation, a drinking situation, a party situation. I was just like, let's just feel everything, because we don't know what's going on in the world right now. Like, that summer was literally a scene out of a movie. It was the dramas. Like, I really wish there was a television show following us around, because things have been so crazy. And then towards the end of the summer, the guy that I was in a relationship, his best friend, actually ended up passing away. Rest in peace, LLD. That was really, really hard for me. And I'm pretty sure it was way harder for like the friends and the family that knew him longer than years. But it was very traumatic for me, because it happened at the apartment that I lived in. It didn't happen specifically at my apartment, but the guy lived in the same apartment. I don't really want to go into this, because it's literally not my place to talk about somebody else's life or death, but I do want to talk about the way that it affected me, because as you guys know, like, in August of 2019, I had already went through a really traumatic experience with the apartment complex and the manager abruptly coming into my apartment, the staff being very negligent with their rules and just coming in and like breaking, literally banging on my door and breaking into my apartment literally consistently for 3 days in a row. Hello?
Yeah. So I didn't realize at the time how much my space meant to me. And in that time, I didn't understand it then, but now looking back at it, when you're a young girl living in an apartment alone and there's rules and regulations that the apartment complex is supposed to follow, as far as, hey, you're getting a roommate, hey, we're going to be coming in and out of the apartment to check the other unit these days, these times, I feel like that's very important, because in that moment I felt like my sense of peace, my sense of safety, and my overall sense of regard for my life was dismissed, because, like, I'm a young girl sleeping in my apartment and you guys are banging on the door and then just abruptly coming in 3-4 days straight in a row without me not even knowing what's going on. Like, I don't even know why you guys are here. You guys didn't send me an email saying, hey, you're getting a roommate. And then when I tried to discuss it with staff, my emails weren't returned. So I'm sitting here like, how can this be avoided? And so what I should have done was I should have reached out to my dad or my mom or my parents, or mostly probably my dad, because I felt like I was lacking that sense of protection and I was going up against a corporation alone and I didn't really know how to handle that at all. Like, that was a lot for me. And so that's when my anxiety developed, and then from the anxiety, I didn't feel safe walking around the apartment, attending the office, attending the amenities, because I felt like my sense of safety had no regard. Like, this place was advertised as an apartment that had gates, you had a keypad to come in, you had a keypad to your door, no one else had access, there was supposed to be 24-hour security, surveillance. And so when the maintenance staff and also the staff comes in as a crew, as a unit, overpowering one person who's living in a unit alone as a 20-year-old girl, and I'm supposed to be here for school, that was a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I also moved to the unit because there I had friends that worked in the office that I felt like I could trust, that were, who worked there. And I was like, okay, they worked there. If anything happens, they have my back. But it was the way it was such like a crowd, crew, like on type mentality, the way they were speaking to me. They were like, you need to do this and this needs to be done. Like, they were my parent. And then what really was the icing on the cake was it was 8:00 at night. I was on live with you guys and I hear a thrashing knock at the door. And the general manager, along with a crew of people, abruptly unlock my door and come into my unit at 8:00 at night. I could have been naked. I could have been in bed. I could have been doing anything in my unit that I pay rent for. And they abruptly just came and disturbed the peace. And they started yelling and screaming at me and saying, we need to make sure this gets cleaned and prepared and stuff like that for your roommate. This is a shared space. We are authorized to come in here whenever we would like. And that's just not law. You know what I'm saying? And also, they didn't send me an email. And it was after office hours. So there was just a lot going through my head that I felt like I was not protected. And I was just like, it was a lot for me. So after I went through that anxious period, there was even a time where after a couple of weeks, I was like, because I used to get up at like 6 a.m. and go down to the gym. I felt that safe in that community where I could just go to the gym, work out, have a good day, enjoy my space, enjoy the luxuries and the amenities that I pay for, and feel safe. But after that, there was like a week or two or three that went by that I didn't feel safe, so I didn't leave my house. You know what I'm saying? And so that really shifted my entire routine. And not to mention, I didn't have a car at the time. My mom had lived like 15, 20 minutes away. I was like, if something happens to me, I'm not safe. Like, I just have to like shelter myself in place in this spot. So like I was saying, I used to work out. And so a week or two or three later, I was like, you know what, Haven, I can't do this. I need to get out of bed. I got to get myself back going and stuff. And so I finally worked up the courage to go to the gym. And it was like around 9 o'clock at night. I think it was on a Saturday. The gym was empty. So I walked in and stuff like that and working out. And I see this guy circling the gym in a backpack, and I'm like, fuck, like, damn. I just, in my senses, I felt like he was gonna come mess with me. So I wrapped my jacket around my waist. I literally remember the day I was listening to Amber's podcast. I was working in the gym. We were talking about the COVID, just like, even like, not that even the COVID thing, that was before that. We were talking about she was talking about the 5G and the hair shedding and stuff like that. And so this guy, I see him walking around the gym and then he disappears. I see the door open, and like the way that apartment complex is set up is like the treadmills were facing the window and away from the door, so you couldn't keep visualization of who was coming in and out of the door. And so this guy I have my headphones in. This guy comes up behind me and he's like touching me and grabbing my waist, trying to get my attention. And I'm like, no, like I freak out. I start screaming. I hyperventilate. I'm like, literally, I'm trying to feel safe and secure in my apartment complex. And literally, as I work up the courage to do that, here comes this guy, comes like infiltrate my personal space in the middle of the night when I'm trying to work out. And you just don't do that. I felt like that was a common knowledge, that you don't approach a woman by herself in the gym, especially at nighttime. You know what I'm saying? So I freaked out. I screamed. I was like, no, get out of here. Leave me alone. And the thing about it is that the guy didn't look like he was a resident. He was walking around the fucking place, like, not in a gym workout attire at all. What a backpack. Like, he was visiting somebody, but nobody was with him that I could see. So it was sketchy. So from then on out, I went back to my apartment, hyperventilated. I was like, you know what? I can't leave the house again. This is just my mental thinking of, like, how can I protect myself? Stay inside, stay in place. And this is also a trauma trigger to my childhood, where I learned to isolate myself in times of feeling like I couldn't express myself, or I couldn't, you know, be in the world. Like, I was literally raised and taught that the outside world was evil and scary, and someone would kidnap me or you know, take me if I was outside when I was a kid. And as soon as I went to college, that all went out the window. I was like, yo, we're going to get ice cream at 12 o'clock. We're living a college life. I feel safe walking back and forth to the union at all times in the night because I'm in a safe environment. But as soon as I moved to that apartment complex, it's like all of that went out the window as soon as they infiltrated my space, and rightfully so. So I regressed regressed into my safety mode from when I was a child. And so, you know, I spent the next couple of months and year really just being really confused and really angry and really like lost. And so in that, I ended up talking back to an ex, that the Leo ex that we talked about earlier, who made me feel safe and secure. And that was a bad decision within itself, because that person had never really had respect for me and never really loved me and never really cared for me in the way that I believed I did in my innocence. So like, even just regressing back, it's like all the progress I had made from leaving that alone, from remembering my worth, from feeling like I can be my own person in this world, had just completely went out the window. And that within itself pushed me like 12 steps back. And so while I was with Leo, you know, I felt safe. I felt protected. I was like, I had a guy in my apartment with me
in case anyone broke in. You know what I'm saying? And I updated him. I told him about it and everything like that. And then, you know, sometimes at night I would sleep over at his house. I was like, okay, now I'm safe and protected. I was seeking protection, seeking safety. And at the time, I didn't know that. But all of that just made sense to me in that moment, instead of, like, me really asserting my dominance and getting help. And I think I did see a therapist that semester. But even then, I'm so good at masking my feelings that we never even got to the real root of that issue. I ended up, like, contacting corporate about it, and they never really apologized. They offered me, like, $30 off my monthly rent, and none of it sufficed the feelings and the emotion and the peace of mind that had been taken away from me. And then I ended up getting a roommate, and that was another thing within itself, where her mother, I don't know, it was a lot. I was living with a Virgo and super neat freaky and whatever, and just super needy, and I don't know. So that was another thing within itself. And then after I got into the relationship, we were working it through. I was like, yes, like, everything's moving forward, I feel safe, I feel rejected, I earned this love and all this stuff like that. And time after time, like, this person was someone who was denying me the right to be myself. Like, I got excited talking about astrology. Oh, I don't like that, I don't care about that. I got excited about literally anything. Oh, you're being too loud, or you're doing too much. I like your hair like this. I don't like going there. Like, all this stuff like that, where I felt like this was the price for safety, denying myself my own identity. And you guys know how that go. My son is in the sixth house, so I feel like I need to service my lover. So whatever you want, I'll be that. I'll be your fantasy. I'll communicate, like, Libra third house. Like, all my placements were like, yeah, let's do that. And so my birthday came around. He ruined it. I ended up going out with my mom. I ended up meeting, like, a millionaire that night who, like, gave me a lot of money just for the simple fact that I was existing. It was my birthday. He was like, this is how a man should treat you. Like, dance with my mom. Like, it was a beautiful situation. And I didn't even talk to my boyfriend that day on my birthday. Like, I don't think he even called or even saw me the rest of the day after he had ruined it that 12 o'clock at midnight, which was jaw-dropping to me, because I love birthdays. I'm an Aquarius. I'm like, this is my season, this is my time, this is the time I've always waited for, you know. Anywho, I ended up breaking up with him right after that. And then I got thrown into a friend group where I was going to balls, going out. There was, like, a lot going on. I think that I didn't get a chance to process my feelings and my emotions as I was going through it. I didn't take a time to catch my breath. I was like, yes, I'm back to me. The hair was dyed back jet black. Like, I was out every night drinking, partying, getting into things. And then after that, I kind of shifted into the manifesting and the journaling. And, you know, within that time frame, I was just completely lost and completely, like, whatever. So I was manifesting a new life for myself. I think you guys have heard this story before, but I started journaling around March and manifesting. I was like, I want a boyfriend, I want the perfect friends. And, like, obviously, Haven, take some time to catch your breath. You've just been through a lot. But I didn't see it that way. I just felt like I'm back feeling my power. I'm back feeling like me. I'm reclaiming my life. And so I was manifesting a boyfriend. I knew what his eyes were going to be. I knew what sign I wanted him to be. Like, I knew all the things that I wanted this guy to be. I knew what type of friends I wanted to have and all that stuff like that. So I was manifesting all of those things, not thinking of them, just scripting, just journaling. I was like, what the hell? I ain't got nothing to lose. It's a panoramic. Like, I'm just chilling. So time passed. I had an amazing night on the 4th of July into the 5th of July under the Capricorn full moon, where I met a beautiful soul. He was a Taurus, and we had such this beautiful connection. He introduced me to the Ace of Cups song, which led me into the Placidian awakening, and I don't know what it was about our connection. I think he was definitely sent in my life for that moment to show me something beautiful, because that's what happened. But, like, there was something about the vulnerability and the intimacy of seeing and knowing someone who shared the same interest and who I can show and share things that I really loved and care about with. Because this person was spiritual. They were going into the mountains, the woods, you know, doing psychedelics, and like had their ego death, and I like read cards. The Ace of Cups came out, then I played the Ace of Cups song, and then I, you know, did the Tibetan singing bowl, which reminded him of the Ace of Cups, it was just like so divine and magnetic. It was such a beautiful situation. One day I'll have to recant it for you because it's so beautiful. So I met him. That was a beautiful, vulnerable situation. I was just like in awe. And then time went on. I got into some more stuff. It turns out the friends that I wanted ended up manifesting. There was a guy who had just moved in who I was like, I saw him and I was like, he's the one. I want him. That's my next victim. I don't know. I was just like, I like him. I want to know him. He's mysterious. He's interesting. I locked eyes with him and he had the same interest in me. And lo and behold, time passed. We got to know each other and it turned out to be literally the line by line manifestation of the guy that I had written in my journal 2 or 3 months prior, which was freaky once I went back and watched it. But in the time I was just like, oh, I like this guy. He's interesting. He's mysterious. I was showing him in the card readings and he was just like learning so much. And it was just like, I felt very safe, secure, and protected with him. And we had really just nights where we would sit up and talk and we slowly but surely got to know each other. And it was really poetic in itself. And, then we got into a relationship as we like hung out all summer and I hung out with the friends, and that was the Scorpio. They say you have 3 loves in your life, and I'm quite certain I've had the first 2 already, and the Scorpio was definitely the second, because there was such a soul connection there, like looking in the eyes, being intimate with him, just all of that was really beautiful within itself, because it was just, I don't know, we had this sixth sense together. And even if I'm married now, when I'm listening to this later, or in a relationship, there's nothing that you can deny about a soul's connection. In whatever way, we had a soul's connection. But then tragic hit. And then there was a death where his best friend passed away. And I don't mean any disrespect speaking on this, but this was the first time I had seen someone, spent time with someone, looked someone in the eye, hung around someone constantly, like day upon day in their house, around them, you know, actually interacting with them. And then they passed away. And they were like my age or around my age. Like I was 21 at the time and he was 23 when he passed away. And so, and then it happening at the same apartment complex where I had previously had those first 2 traumas, and then that was a lot for me. I felt very unsafe in my apartment, as you can imagine, someone passing away through like to residents, through someone breaking in or coming into their apartment and shooting them. Like that's a lot. Like I had never dealt with that kind of intense amount of energy in my life. I didn't grow up around that. I didn't grow up listening to gunshots or hearing people get killed or none of that stuff. Like that was new for me. And you know, me and the Scorpio were exact opposites as far as lifestyles, as far as upbringings, as far as mentality and everything. But there was something so beautiful in being like the light to someone's darkness and having a darkness to your light. Like, I don't know. So, me and the Scorpio had our own discrepancies, but of course, once all that happened, and then the details in which, the way it happened, I ran back to him. I was like, I love you, like, I care about you, I want to be here for you, you know, all that stuff like that, me being Sun in the sixth house, trying to just service and support someone, and I love the role that I played as far as being that support system, but it was far more than I could chew, far more than I could take a chance to catch my breath and heal from myself because of everything I had just been through that past year. And then this, and then being in a relationship and feeling that amount of a connection, then everything that just happened in that July with the Taurus on the Capricorn full moon, and then, like, that part of my life was so dramatic. So from 2019 to 2020, a lot happened that was like a total episode. And if you guys ever want to catch up on how I was feeling or even get the mood of what I was going through, I have been updating my playlist chapters on Spotify, where I've been keeping up to date with my moods and my feelings and stuff like that on Spotify, through different chapters and in playlists and stuff like that. So you can literally just see the evolution of my thought process, and it's all dated. So I think that's really cool to have. But, you know, I was trying to be that support system for him. I wanted to be that savior. I wanted to relate. I wanted to understand. But there's nothing that you can do for someone to be there enough to ease their pain in that way. And I had to learn that the hard way, because as much as I was trying to heal myself, I was going to therapy, trying to work through the things that I had just went through that last past year, and also get myself out of that depression, work through my anxieties, get on antidepressants, figure out, you know, how do I calm and soothe myself through these anxieties. I was also trying to pick someone up off of the ground. I was trying to help this person who was grieving, and as I am a person who studies psychology, philosophy, into spirituality, into healing, it just never made sense to me how someone could just allow themselves to sit in their own depression, even though that's the exact same thing that I had been doing the last past 4 or 5 months prior. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I have an Aries moon, so I'm like, yo, get mad out of the situation. But you can't expect someone to just get over something like that. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't understand that. And I also was in a very pivotal mood where it was just like, I am a person myself. I need to heal myself before I can even help heal anyone else. So we ended up ending the relationship, and I felt terrible for it. It was just way too much for me to handle, and I felt like I would be doing myself such a disservice if I would allow myself to sink back in a place that I was just working so hard to get out of, because there were nights that I cried, that I no longer wanted to, you know, be alive. And then to have someone you love, and I mean truly, like, love, like, not be in the best space ever, and then to not see any light at the end of the tunnel, it was really hard for me. Like, I love that guy. Like, I love myself. And so I had to make an executive decision, and the ultimatum was, get help for yourself and make your way back to me, or I'll help you as long as you're getting help yourself. Because evolution is a thing for me that I've always been about, self-actualization, self-improvement. I've always been the type of person where, like, let's evolve. And one of the hardest things I learned from that is that you can't speed up someone else's healing journey just because you're on it. So I had to make a very difficult choice in that time. And so I chose myself. And I think I chose myself in the nick of time, because I ended up vouching for myself finally and getting myself out of that apartment complex that had been the root of so much trauma for me. And I had always been a runner in my life. Like, I've always been like a this isn't working out, this is bad. I moved a lot as a kid, so I was used to, like, shit's hitting the fan, let's bounce. But something about that place and that apartment and everything that went there, I really wanted to prove to myself that I was gonna overcome that. And my therapist at the time, she told me, she was like, Haven, there's a difference between, like, running away from something or in removing yourself from something that's bad, you know? And so I had planned to, like, move to Florida. I found the roommate. Shout out to Aisha. Like, I was literally planning to get away and move to Florida and just start a new life. But it turned out that I wasn't able to get out of my contract even after the apartment complex and all their shenanigans that they put me through. And so I had to just move to a different unit in a different property, which was enough for me for the time being, because I really needed to get out of that environment. I just felt like I couldn't evolve. I couldn't heal. Every time I heard a door open or someone coming in and out, I would have an anxiety attack. I'm like, is someone coming in here to, like, hurt me? Or, you know, I just didn't know. I just didn't feel safe and protected there. So I finally moved and started over, and I felt like I could catch my breath. I was on antidepressants and really trying to work my life back through. And I'm so glad that I did, because I don't know who I would be if I was still subjecting myself to still be there. On top of things that were going on with my family, with different, you know, mental health issues of different family members and stuff that I don't ever talk about. And the crazy thing about it is I was going through so much with these quote-unquote friends, but I was really going through a lot of this stuff that was going on in my life alone. Like, even though I got on live with you guys and even though I hung out with these people every day, I didn't really know how to express or understand my emotions. So they would manifest in frustration and drunken nights and, you know, just, I was trying to do art, but I didn't feel safe. You know, it's just, I don't know. I was all over the place. And so it really feels good to be here now and to speak my truth, because I didn't realize how much keeping these things to myself isolated myself until, fast forward a couple months ago, I met a friend, or not met a friend, she was old for friend, who I finally felt safe enough to be vulnerable with and to speak things through with and just let her in on my family and my life and my childhood, how much I've moved. You know, the state of mind of my family, the things that I've gone through with the mental health issues and the different things. And I felt so vulnerable in that moment, but also so scared to express myself to someone, because no one had ever known me to that degree, to that level. And at the end of it, you know, she was like, you know, if anything, I just feel like I can relate to you more. If anything, this humanizes you to me more, because I've also been through things like that. And I was used to being the outcast. I was used to being the person who was alone, who was like the black sheep of the family. You know, I would go out and I would know people, but no one actually knew me. And I would give advice to everyone, but never ask for it. You know what I'm saying? Or ask for it in a shallow way. The conversations that I would have with my family or my friends were really shallow, about boys, about outfits, about hair, but never really about the deep feelings that I was going through. And I was feeling is really because I didn't know how to feel them myself. And I just learned that it just hit me out of nowhere. Like, all the relationships that I've been in, or not relationships, but the two relationships I had been in since I had been in college, and all the people that I had met and all the friends, like, they were so shallow because we never got to anything deep, at least not on my part. So it really made me think about all the friends that I had and all the people that I got to know that I really didn't get to know me, you know what I'm saying? And then it made a lot of sense to me as to why I felt kind of, not idolized is not the word, but I felt very objectified, and like I was a fantasy for some people, or why I was an easy target to lie about or to make up stories about or to cast judgments about, because I just looked like nothing was wrong all the time. I was just the happy, outgoing girl who enjoyed the party, enjoyed the vibes, spent a lot of time doing makeup and hair, and had this mysterious YouTube channel and talked about all these things and helped people. But like, who is she? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you don't know someone, it's really easy to assume everything about them. And that's the thing, I was really open with taboo things, like intimacy, you know, astrology, really things like that people didn't talk about. But the real things that mattered to me or that I really needed to express were things that weren't even up for discussion, as far as my family goes, as far as my feelings goes, as far as my emotions go. And I realized in that moment the reason why I haven't had any long-lasting friends is because there was never any depth for them to understand my actions or the way that I assert myself or why do I do certain things, because I never got there with anyone, because I didn't ever get there with myself. Even with having therapists and talking about really shallow things, I don't even think I've ever tapped into like my core emotions and feelings in that way. So, you know, coming into who I am now, I've stopped the antidepressants and the medication that was given to me as far as depression and then even like anxiety. And I started turning to vitamins and herbs and stuff like that, really natural things, because that was always a big thing for me. I didn't want to become a person who was stuck on a pill every single day and couldn't function without her medication. I didn't want to be driven by, you know, big pharma and, you know, all that stuff. Like, I was always weary about stuff like that. So where I am now is I'm on vitamins, just being more mindful of my thoughts, journaling, getting out of the past mindsets, allowing myself to move forward, to move on, allowing myself the freedom to express myself, knowing my worth, knowing my value, being able to vocalize my feelings and my emotions more than ever, setting boundaries, not being so really needy or craving friends or relationships to the point that I'm ignoring red flags, ignoring really important judgment calls. Because I used to be a person who was like, I judge no one because everyone has a story. And really, that was just me really just wanting to be accepted by other people. So accepting everything from anyone, it doesn't matter if you were a bad person or what. I was just like, okay, you can be in my life because fuck it. You know, I'll be that person who listens to you even though no one else isn't. But I learned that, you know, my energy and my life and the things that I've been through are so sacred that I cannot just subject myself to anyone. I just can't allow people with negative intentions and negative mindsets into my life, because those infiltrate into my life, into my identity. Like, I recently had friends that would pick apart my appearance and my outfit and stuff like that and tell me how I should wear my hair and different things like that, and what was wrong with my voice or the places that I like to go. And like, it also took me tapping into my childhood and finding out why I like the places that I like to go, what it is it about the way that I like to dress and all these things like that, and find validation in the fact that these things that make me, that I love to do, the place that I love to go, the way that I like the way I wear my hair, the way I love to dress, the what I like, the beaches, the environments, poetry, art, all these things that have astrology, even all these things that have been picked apart from people and I've been seeking approval from people, or things in my childhood that or the very source or essence of things that I love and probably more than anything have connection to my past lives. And being in Seoul, that I learned the significance and the sacredness of that, I don't allow people in my life anymore that have an issue with me and the way that I live my life and the issue about the places that I like to go and the things that I like to do, because that is me. And if you don't like me and you don't like the things that I like, we don't need to be friends. I'm not lonely in the sense that I crave just anyone in my presence anymore. We have to get along. We have to be on the same accord. We have to be subjected to the same assignment for this to work, you know? And not to say that I have to, like, have people around me that like all the same things that I like. No, but mentally, you have to be in a place where I am. You know what I'm saying? As far as healing, as far as evolution, as far as being your own person, as far as being confident about having something that you're passionate about. Because I can't have people around me who are seeking to be me or pick apart me. I need people who are an individual themselves, because that is who I am, you know? And so that's where I am today. I'm taking in more of my hobbies more than ever. As you guys can see, I've been painting more. I've been doing my podcast more, reading more. I've been visiting picnics and listening to live music, tapping into rock music, guitars, all these things that I've loved since I was a kid, and really embodying and appreciating myself for everything that I love and I like and everything that I've always wanted to be, because that's what's making my inner child happy. Before the traumas, before the chaotic events, before all of those things. And you know, I had to look back and cringe a little at some of the activities and some of the ways that I've engaged with other people. But I just have to charge it to my state of consciousness at the time. Like, I wasn't consciously aware of my toxic behaviors. I wasn't consciously aware of the ways that I was coping with traumas that I didn't even know that I went through, you know? And at the end of it, I have to just say, like, if anything, anybody who's known me prior till now or before now, they can't speak on my character in a way in which they've known my entire life. They've known what I've been through to know, you know, who I am enough. I've had plenty of people I've gone out with. I have plenty of people that I may have gotten dinner or lunch with here and there, but I've cried to not one of them. Not one of them know my mom and my dad's name. Not one of them know my siblings' name. Not none of them probably even know how many siblings I have, or, you know my biggest fears or my biggest pains, or, you know, anything truly significant to, I feel, that is my core character. Half of them probably don't even know, actually, like 99% of them probably don't even know my major. You know what I'm saying? So I just have to charge it to evolution and charge it to coming to understand myself at a higher degree. And even being vulnerable like this is a core part to who I am, and coming to understand my blackness and love my skin color and love my hair for its curliness and its defineness and everything about me prior, like previously, did not embody any of those things. And so I have to just charge it to true evolution, because for so long I've preached to you guys that I'm all about evolution, all about self-actualization, all about that. But it was the hardest for me to actually look in the mirror myself and see the facade that I was putting on to find love and acceptance in other people. And I know I kind of talked around that, but I kind of wanted to go into a linear kind of situation where I just recap the last like year, 2.5 years of my life, where I was really just seeking some sort of self conversation or clarification. And I'm surprised that I had avoided it so long, but like I said, just charged it to the state of consciousness at the time. And I can stand in my truth in that. And I can say, I've been through a lot. And I have a story, and it starts a long time ago, long before any of you guys have met me. And the moment that I come to tap into my story from the beginning to the end, the more that I'll truly be happy and truly understand myself and truly accept myself. And that's the path that I'm on. I'm on getting back to doing what I love. I've always had cameras around me when I was a kid, always filmed, always had pictures taken of me. I love cinematography. And I've always been into art, into teaching. That's my life path, 33. And so it's just tapping back into the innocence of it all, the root of it all. And I'm happy. And, you know, it's taken me a long time to get here. There was versions of myself and at times in my life where I was just like, I didn't know what to expect or what I would become, but the girl, the woman, the lady that I am today, I'm really proud that I'm passionate. I'm really proud that I've evolved. I'm really proud that I've learned to love and accept myself and do things that I never thought that I'd be able to do as far as my insecurities go when I was a kid. Just as simple as leaving the house without makeup, leaving my house without certain hair pieces, painting, showing my artwork, being vulnerable to this degree is a lot for me. And I'm happy. I'm truly happy. And there's not a person, place, or thing that I can put my happiness in or say this is the source of my happiness other than myself. I'm truly and honestly happy and proud of myself, and I'm even more proud being able to see the journey that I've been on to get here. If anything, that's what makes it so much more beautiful, knowing the story of how I got here. And it started long, long ago from when I was a kid, not 5 months ago, not 2 years ago, not 3 years ago, but the entirety of it all from start to beginning is truly poetic. And I'm happy and I'm proud of myself for overcoming all, even things that I didn't even get into here that don't deserve to be talked about, to be honest. It's just beautiful. And so throughout the rest of these podcasts and throughout the rest of the videos and my TikToks and stuff like that, I'm going to be sharing with you guys the journey and sharing with you guys the things that I've learned as much as I'm conscious of it and able to tell you guys these things. But yeah, I'm in a place where I'm dating and I'm getting to know people and talking to people who have their own crafts and who love themselves and have something that they love and who love the things that I love instead of searching for love in places that it's unrequited and that I have to work for it and feel like I need to deserve it. Like, I know that I deserve the very best because I give myself the very best, you know? So that was it all. Those were the things that I had not talked about in such a long time. And at first, and even through recording this, I was like, is this too much? Am I talking too much about the things that I've been through? But I don't think so. I think I've always felt like people need to be more open and honest about their life experiences so that other people don't feel alone. And I stand by that. And everything that I decide to share online or publicly are things that I'm proud to share and things that have contributed to my life, and there's no shame in that at all. I'm really proud to stand on my two feet and stand with my voice and be able to have these conversations that I wish I could have had it with someone back then, or I could have heard that someone else was going through so I could possibly help myself navigate through it, you know what I'm saying, in some kind of way. And maybe I'll be the first to be this raw, this real, this vulnerable. Maybe it'll shock some family members, some friends, some past lovers. But hey, this is my life, this is my story, and I'm choosing to be this person, and I'm choosing to express myself in this way, and that's my decision. You're not entitled to my life story just because you contributed it to a small part of it. You're not entitled to tell me how to I can express myself. You can judge and share this with your friends and other people all you want, but I find that there's integrity in this work that I'm doing, integrity in the honesty that I'm giving, portraying, illustrating, all of those things. And I'm that person. That's me. I'm Ava Hava. I'm Haven, the girl who talks about her life online in a way that she can share it with other people. And if you don't want to be a part of my life story as far as me sharing it, don't make contact with me. Because odds are, if I learn something from you, or if you take me through a life experience, or if interacting with you teaches me something that I feel is valuable to the collective, I'm going to talk about it. And I have every right to do so. I have every right to speak upon my life experiences the way that I've had them. And that's what this is about. I'm an expressionist. I express myself in many mediums for my highest and greatest good. This is the podcast. I'll see you guys Monday in the astrology video. Bye.